Okay.
Oh,
Wow.
You may be seated.
Now, that was awesome. Good morning, men and women of God.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here and for you all that joined us on the web and that we're streaming live today. I've just got just a couple announcements to give to you. This is not only the day the Lord has made, but we're going to rejoice in it. Amen. We've got I was praying for our pastor today, and I was just thanking the Lord for him. It was still dark, so it was early. And I just thought, thank you, Father, for a man that's after your heart. So we have a real privilege on this day. I've got some announcements that have been given to me, okay, and it says our digital bulletin gets sent via email each week, and there are some highlights. Did you all get that? You did get it. Amen. Was it good? Amen. I should look at it. I'm horrible at this. You know, I never looked at our bulletin when we printed it. I just look at the schedule. I'm sorry. I'm just a sorry. But anyway. I just got to get my act together. And now, let's talk about Shine. Okay?
Yeah,
would you like to say
it.
Something?
Yeah. Yeah. So a week from today, next Sunday night, August 2nd, we're going to have Shine, which is a worship night. Just worship, hour and 15 minutes. Not like just worship, you know what I mean? But we're just going to sing to the Lord together for like an hour and 15 minutes. We're going to do it outside in the courtyard, which means everyone will get to hear us, which is extra awesome.
And everyone, that
so should
will
definitely
be awesome.
Come. Please, worship together with
you
us.
You will not regret it. I mean, and to worship God together, just and sing. And you think about the things you're going to be singing. It's like you're praying in music. It's just beautiful. And we just have one other thing. My wife and I want to tell you, thank you for, some of you don't know this, but I'm going to let you'll know now. My wife and I, this is our last Sunday here for the next 3 months. We are on what's called a celebrative sabbatical. And that's because we're celebrating our 50th, we're celebrating 48 years in the ministry, and First Baptist Church and Overwhelmed by Grace gave us this time off. And I thought it was originally supposed to have been earlier, like June, July, and August kind of a thing. Now it's going to be August, September,
October,
November, December. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. But I wanted to say thank you. A lot of you knew we were going to be doing this. We're going to be leaving Thursday morning by the grace of God if all things work smooth. So thank you, and thank you for your prayers. It's just a real joy. But let me thank the Lord as we're going to enter into singing to the. And I would encourage us. There's never been a better time to really honestly sing and to the Lord and pray. You know, I spoke on prayer last week, and I just said, oh, may we become the men and women that can shake the foundations of sin right on our knees. It's truly a holy time. So, Father, we come in to present ourselves to you on this beautiful, brand-new day. It's never been here. We declare the magnificence of your holiness, the wonder of your grace, the breathtaking peace that you give to us in the midst of storms, and absolute joy. Thank you for this new day. We come to present ourselves to you with thanksgiving. Oh, Father, with delight and with the praise that comes from Jesus Christ himself. So this we do in his name. Amen.
I was up early this morning also, and I was listening to a message, and the pastor, as he was preaching, said, you know who sang in church? Jesus. Can you imagine that, church? Let's stand. And let's just think about that for a minute. When Jesus went to synagogue, he sang. He sang the songs. This story, this great gospel story, the redemption of all mankind. Let's join him this morning. And know that even today, he sings. We read it in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And we have a God who sings over us. And this is what he's saying. In the darkness we were waiting. Without hope, without light, till from heaven you came run. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle. Doxology. Sing it out. Whoa.
stood in awe for the souls of all who'd come to the Father, are restored. And the Church of Christ was born. And the Spirit did proclaim. Now this gospel to the world shall not kneel and shall not fail. By His blood, in His name, in His freedom,
as we used to, because the lines are long and it's hard to wear like a mask that whole time. Sometimes you think I'm going to just, you know, make sure I know what I want so I can go in and I can get out, right? Have you had that feeling at all? And we were there near the salmon because that's the best thing to get from Costco, in case you didn't know. And there was a man standing there and he had this mask on and he was talking to his wife. And it didn't make any difference that he had that mask on. I could hear just as clear as day what he was saying. He was chewing her out with the most horrible, hateful words you've ever heard. Something I haven't heard for a long time. And it was just deeply distressing to me. And I watched her walk away from him after he had threatened her. And that's not a normal thing. That's not something I usually see. So I thought, Lord, I better pay attention to that, right? If the Lord brings something like that, I better pay attention because I belong to Jesus Christ. And I watched her walk away, and she looked, she had set her face like stone. She was going over to get some cheese. And I thought, man, if I hadn't heard that and I had just seen her face, I would have thought she was mad. I don't know what I would have thought. You know what she was doing? She was just trying not to lose it in the store. I wanted to just take her face in my hands and say that wasn't good, but there's one who is. There's one who is good. And He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Just look at Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Church, I don't know what we're going through this week or what your face looks like, but I want you to know we're going to come here and declare that God is good. Amen? He is good. He's never going to let you down. That pastor I was listening to this morning, he said, Jesus's hands don't smell like hand cream. Just hear that one more time. He said, Jesus's hands don't smell like hand cream. No, He's a carpenter. He knows how to work. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have a warrior God. That's who you have for your king. So let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run. May He be the fountain that we drink from. May He be the song that we sing. Amen, church. Just open up your mouths and let's sing. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. And let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my. Sing this and fight.
Cause You are good.
Yes, You are
good.
Yes.
Oh,
sing it again.
You are good.
Yes, You are
good.
Even when nothing around me is good, You are
good.
Amen.
Shelly, I really like that song. You know, Amelia, what I thought of about Let Him Be the Wind in My Sail. I thought about you guys going to that sailing class, getting certified to sail, and I thought, oh, Father, may you be the wind in their sail, that class. Amen. Thank you so much for that. You know, there's no one like the Lord. And I was thinking about that lady you're telling the story, and that man with a filthy mouth or whatever it was. You know, I think back to that. Man, there was a time in my life I was just as filthy. I had just as filthy mouth. We're going to pray for that couple. We don't know who he is. They don't know who they are, but God sure does. And this is our time in prayer. We're going to pray over our pastor, and because he's anointed of the Most High God, and that the Holy Spirit would speak through him. So let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, we come again in the beauty of your holiness and the beauty of Jesus Christ. Father, I don't know that couple, but you do. You know where they are right now. And Father, I'm asking that you would pour out yourself upon them. They're hurting, just like all of us were before we knew you. And so, Father, pour out your blessing on them. Pour out your presence on them. Don't let them go. No matter what their age is, don't let them perish. Father, how sad and how broken to be in a public arena speaking such things today. May their heart be open. May their mind be able to, may you give them a gift, this gift of faith, so that they can receive something. Receive that of life that is eternal, full of grace and truth and kindness. Let them be renewed right now, wherever they are, whatever moment they're in right now. Overwhelm them, Father. We're just asking as your sons and daughters right now that you would do something in their life immediately. Do not let them perish. And thank you, Father. We come to you with great praise for our pastor. We come to thank you for him. We thank you, Father. Thank you for the day of his birth. Thank you for his mom and dad. Thank you for his brother. Thank you for his sister. Thank you for the day he committed everything to you. He surrendered his entire will and asked that your will would be done. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching him. Thank you for filling him. Thank you for rebirthing him. Thank you for giving him wisdom and insight. And so now he comes to proclaim your breath. May you speak in the fire and the magnificence of who you are, that our lives will be renewed and refreshed on this day, a day to remember because of Jesus Christ. So bless him and bless him as he comes, Father. Thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gus. Just so you know, I know, Gus, you didn't get a chance to read the bulletin that we sent out. But if you were to read that, you need to understand that your sabbatical got canceled. But you got to read the bulletin to find that out. If you got your Bible, open it up to the exciting book of Daniel. Are you enjoying this study in the book of Daniel? I really am. I am just delighted with the book of Daniel. And more I get into it, the more and more that I see. In fact, as I started to go through this book, I was going to preach just the first six chapters. And I thought, well, no, I'll go ahead and preach the seventh chapter. And then as I got preaching into the seventh chapter, I thought, I just need to do the whole book of Daniel. I really do. There's just so much here. But then I've also scheduled another series that is going to be coming to us from the book of Revelation. And so I thought, okay, what do I do here? Do I finish Daniel? And I thought, well, you know what I could do? I could do Daniel chapter 7, a portion of it. And then the rest of it I could actually do online, if you're interested. I don't know. Do you guys have that access? That's a possibility. I'll wait. You let me know what you want, and I will go ahead and do that. But if you got your Bible, do you have your Bible? Hold it up. Let me see your Bibles for just a moment. Okay, I see a lot of phones out there. I see it. Bob, that's a Dodger game you've got playing right there. Sorry about that, right? But have your Bible out today, because we're going to look at a lot of passages of Scripture. We really are. I want you to think with me to a time that was very, very different. In fact, a time when you rebelled or you caused problems, they dealt with the problem. There was no such thing as delayed justice. They would take you to a precipice. It had to be a minimum of 10 feet in height. They would bind your hands behind your back, And they would walk you to the very edge of that precipice. Then the first person who brought testimony against you as a witness would simply push you over. Down you plummeted. In many cases, the person died when they hit the ground. But just in case you didn't, the second witness who saw your crime took a large boulder, rolled it to the edge of the precipice, aimed, and let it fly, either catching you in the chest or in the head. If you were still alive, the rest of the people would gather together with large stones, and they would begin to plummet you to death. It was called stoning. It was practiced in the Old Testament. And one of the reasons why people got stoned is if they were a false prophet. If they stood up and they said, this is what God wants you to believe and this is what God said and it was false, you were stoned. You were put to death. You were to lie there and there would be no service for you. They would grab you. They would bury you. The first rock that was used would be your headstone, and that is it. Your name would never be mentioned again. Israel had a problem with false prophets. And in Deuteronomy chapter 13, God told them exactly what to do and how to handle the problem. You shall stone him to death with stones because he sought to drive you away from the Lord your God. And by the way, the standard for false prophecy, it was required that any prophet that spoke truth had to speak 100% truth. In other words, you could never be wrong in a prophecy. You could never be wrong in an error. Everything that you spoke had to come true 100%. That's a pretty incredible standard, isn't it? I don't think anybody who's around who can talk about the future with that kind of accuracy. Except there is one, and his name is Daniel. And Daniel speaks unequivocally, unhesitantly. He gives prophecies without any fear in his mind or in his heart of any reprisal, without any concern for his life, because what he spoke was the very word of God. I want you to understand this morning, that book you hold up, whether it's in a digital format, whether it's in a printed format, is the very word of God. It shall never fail. It shall never pass away. Not one word. Every jot and tittle, Jesus says, shall be fulfilled. In fact, I'm convinced, not just through the incredible ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, but I am convinced of this, that prophecy is one of the incredible things that we can look at that tell us so accurately the very truths of God's word. And it's one of the ways that we can confirm this is the very word of God. You have a book in front of you that's as sure as if God himself was standing there speaking. It is his word. Amen. Now, in this incredible chapter 7 that we're going to look at today, as I began to study it this week, and I had a marvelous time in God's Word, it's comprised of visions that take place. If you just want to make a couple of notes, beginning in verse 1 down to verse 6 is a vision of three beasts. And if you're wondering what those are, all you have to do is go back to Daniel chapter 2. Remember, we talked about the four empires that were to come. The first being the Babylonian, the second being the Medo-Persian Empire, and the third being the Grecian Empire. And then also he has another vision in verses 7 to 12 that involves a fourth beast, an understanding, if we will, of the Roman Empire. But it isn't just the Roman Empire that he's talking about. There's a revised Roman Empire that's going to come from this. 10 horns, speaking of rulers or kings, and one great horn that will arise, Antichrist himself. But in the very midst of this passage of Scripture comes for me, and I hope for you, one of the most glorious days that you and I will ever be able to imagine. This chapter sweeps across time, if you will. And in this chapter, the Ancient of Days gives to the Son of Man an everlasting kingdom that will be for all eternity. It is so filled and packed with prophetic truth. I've often said, God, if you could just give me one complete chapter in the Bible that I could understand, if you could just give me one text that I could plummet the truth of it, it would be simply this, Daniel chapter 7. It is filled with great truth, beginning with the coronation of our Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with His rule and His reign of His kingdom. Isaiah 46 says this, I am God and there is none else like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient of times to the things that have not yet come. Daniel, in this apocalyptic book, is going to share with us in chapter 7, in broad terms, the sweep of human history. And if you want to just look at it structurally, the first 6 chapters are pretty historical with a little bit of prophecy. But when you get to chapter 7 all the way through chapter 12, it is prophetic with history unfolding. And chapter 7 gives us a sweep of the whole history of the future of the world. And then chapters 8 through 12 begin to break it down and help us understand what Daniel is actually seeing. But why is God waiting till Daniel chapter 7 to unfold all this? I mean, why didn't he do it earlier? Why didn't he tell us about what was going to take place earlier? Remember the children of Israel in captivity. They're languishing under the rule of a pagan monarch. They're living in a pagan society. They've been taken off into captivity. And they've got to be asking themselves the question, God, if we're your chosen people, if you're the ones who love us so much, what's going to happen? Because we're here, we're not in Jerusalem anymore, and we're in captivity. And so I think God, at the exact appropriate time, is reminding Israel, I haven't forsaken you. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't left you behind. I haven't chosen you to forget you. I've selected you, and I am going to use you. And even after this king, Nebuchadnezzar, passes away, I have a future for you, people of God, and I am going to bless you and restore you. Amen. In fact, when I think of that, I can't help but think of Romans chapter 11, where Paul reminds us that he has not forgot about the people of God. He is going to work with his people again. He is going to restore him. God is going to give them hope. And may I simply say today that I don't only think that God is going to give hope here to the children of Israel, but I pray for hope in America. Because I pray he's not done with us as a nation. We've been rocked in the last 3 or 4 months with everything that is taking place. We're literally watching in many places society unravel and unrest. And I pray that this is not the end of America, but rather it is the beginning of a great revival that will take place. That God will speak to our country once again as he spoke to the children of Israel, and he will allow his spirit to be breathed across this nation, and men and women will come to know the monarch of all monarchs, the king of all kings, our Lord Jesus Christ, and this nation would return back to him. Amen. Pray with me that God will do that. Now let's look at details of what we've got here. Notice in verse 1, I just want to open it up to you. It's the first year of Belshazzar. So Nebuchadnezzar has already passed away. This is Belshazzar who has come into power, king of Babylon. And you will note he is alive. And in chapter 6, we saw him and the last day of his life. So in chapter 7 is a vision that took place prior to the death of Belshazzar. And there's a very unique structure to the book of Daniel. I wish I had the time to tell you, but I'm going to point Bob out right here because me and him have talked about it on numerous occasions. Grab him after the service and talk his ear off because he will help you understand a structure and why the structure is significant. Are you up for that, Bob? Okay. And especially if you're a young, single lady, please talk to Bob. Not too young. Daniel receives a vision while he slept, and this vision is a revelatory vision, and it is a vision that is incredible. And here is what is going to take place in the vision. I want you to see this. The major point of the vision is the establishment of an eternal kingdom. Look at it in verse 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions. Watch this. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Now watch it. And to him was given dominion and glory and what? A kingdom. This passage is about the establishment of God's kingdom that is yet to come. And we are going to be there when this unfolds. You and I are going to be there for the coronation. Look at verse 14, that all peoples, nations, and languages would serve him. Now watch this, his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Oh, praise God for that. Governments have come and governments have gone, but this kingdom is an eternal kingdom that will be established forever. I've simply broken the passage down into three points. Simply, the coronation of the king, and secondly, the character of the kingdom, and thirdly, the chronology of the kingdom. I remember when Daniel, class in seminary, and I was looking at my notes when Dr. Buzenitz was teaching, and this was on the test, and so I stole his outline, and he'll be happy for that. The coronation of the king answers the question, who is going to be coronated? The character of the kingdom, that's going to tell us what the kingdom is all about. And the chronology of the kingdom, when does it take place? Now, first of all, look at the coronation of the king. It's a glorious, magnificent crowning scene. He looks and he sees the Ancient of Days who takes his seat in clothing. His clothing was white. His hair of his head was pure wool. This is in verse 9. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. Wow. This is the most spectacular day in all of history. You might ask yourself the question, what was the best day of your life? And I know that a lot of you would probably give different answers. Maybe it was the day you turned 16 and you got your own car. Or it was the day you went off to college. Or the day you were married. Or the day you had your first child born. You all have a day that is the special day of your life. The best day of my life was the day I gave away the horse that I got for Christmas. That was the best day. No, I'm just teasing. I did do that, though. Nevertheless, the best day for me is when I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. But as great as that day is and exciting as it is, nothing is going to be quite like the coronation of this king. Now, notice what is going to take place. This is astonishing, and I want you to understand this. If you go back, remember, to the book of Samuel in the life of David, God gave a very important message to David. David was living in a house that was magnificent. He had unparalleled wealth, and David was enjoying his house, and he turned to Nathan the prophet, and he said, why should I enjoy a house built with cedar when God is living in a tent? All we got is his tabernacle. I want to build a temple for God. And he asked Nathan if he could do it. And Nathan said, sure, sounds good to me. And then Nathan went to the Lord. And the Lord said to Nathan, hey, how come you didn't talk to me first about this? The answer is no, he cannot do that because he's a man with blood on his hands. But the man who is going to do it is going to be his son, Solomon. And Solomon is going to build a kingdom to God. But here's what's interesting. In the midst of all of that, in 2 Samuel 17:6, we read this. And beyond Solomon, watch this, I will send a greater than Solomon, a greater than David. I will send one who will establish a kingdom, and it will be forever and ever. So understand, the kingdom we're talking about here is not going to perish away. It's an eternal kingdom. In fact, if you're familiar with the Psalms and you read the Psalms, read the second Psalm, read the 45th Psalm, read Psalm 72, read Psalm 110, all references to the great kingdom that is yet to come. It is magnificent. So here you have laid out in the chapter, Daniel sees a beautiful picture of this kingdom that is going to come. And I want you to notice this because he says to us very clearly in this text, verse 9, I looked and thrones were placed. Literally in the Aramaic, thrones were cast down. Now we're not exactly sure what that means. Some believe, and I've read several commentators on this, who are talking about a throne, not a throne that you and I would think of. Because normally when you think of a throne, you think of a high-back chair, you think of a king sitting in it. But think Middle Eastern, if you will. Think about a king or a shah or a sheikh or some Middle Eastern setting. And a throne for them is very different. It's a high platform, and the platform are filled with pillows. And the king would sit on those pillows, and his subjects would be below him. And so that's quite possibly what is talking about here. E.J. Young thinks that it might be a different type of throne, but he references Revelation chapter 20 when he says this, I saw the thrones and seated on them, on the authority of those who was given the commandment to judge. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God and for those who did not worship the beast. In other words, you have a central position or throne that we see, whether that's pillows that have been cast down, as this text says, or it is a chair. Nevertheless, there are others who are surrounding the Lord around this throne. And I love his idea here of Revelation 20 being a parallel, that the fact is that we as the saints of God might be that close to the throne. I don't know about you, but I would love to be sitting on pillows, having Jesus exalted above me. Wouldn't that be fantastic? And I would be sitting there in my robe of white enjoying myself, and my wife would be there feeding me grapes. And it would be just the most that wouldn't be heaven for her. That would be more like hell, right? But nevertheless, it will be a beautiful thing. Thrones were cast down. You know, I might even mean the destruction of the throne. But what is unique is this, is that in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we have a parallel to this. So if you got your Bible, turn over to Revelation chapter 4. Listen to these words. John says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. So this is a picture of the throne room. This is the same thing that Daniel is describing. And he who sat had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, which is an orange-colored stone. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Now watch this. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their head. And from the throne came flashes of lightnings and rumbles and peals of thunder. As he goes on to talk about in this passage of Scripture, the angelic hosts are there, and they are crying out, worthy is the Lord to receive glory and honor and power. What a magnificent scene. Picture yourself in the throne room. Picture yourself, the Ancient One of Days, sitting on the throne. Picture a coronation about to unveil. And here, a choir is singing that there is no one like the Lord. They are singing and they are worshiping. Thou art worthy to receive honor, glory, and power. Amen. I long for that day, people. I'm tired of when people are no longer honoring the Lord. I'm tired of a nation that is no longer honoring Christ. I'm tired of people that think Jesus is a joke. He is not. He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. And He is to be honored and glorified above all other peoples, above all other governance. Everything in this world is about one person, and it is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look at chapter 5 of Revelation. I hope you're still there. Watch this. There is one sitting on the throne who is the eternal God. And in his hand he has a scroll. And he's crying out for someone to take the scroll, to step out and take possession of it, and to unveil the scroll. It's incredible. We're told in verse 5, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he is the lamb slain, and he came and took the scroll out of his right hand and sat on the throne. Wow. And as this is taking place, all the music is starting. All is beginning to take place for his coronation. Verse 11, I looked and I heard around the throne the living creatures, the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering in what? Myriads of myriads. Can you imagine? Thousands, millions standing before there with one loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, what a day, what a coronation. I heard every creature in verse 13 in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory forever and ever. Oh my gosh, what a grand day it will be. You think you've got a day that's special in your life? I tell you this, of all the days that are special in church history and everything that has happened, even in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, even on the day of the resurrection, the crowning of our Lord Jesus is the most significant, glorious day. It is the culmination of history. It is what we have been waiting for. Amen, church? Now, go back to Daniel chapter 7 for a moment. Daniel chapter 7, I want you to see this, especially in verse 13, because we have an interesting reference that is here. Now, I saw in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds there came one like the Son of Man. Now, watch this. And he came to whom? The Ancient of Days. Now, what in the world is that talking about, the Ancient of Days? Interesting vocabulary. It literally means this, the Old One. That's what it means. It means the Old One. But we don't often translate it that. We leave it as Ancient of Days. But what the Ancient of Days is actually teaching us, and it's a reference to God Himself, it speaks of His eternal existence. In other words, when you reference the term Ancient of Days, it is saying that God is eternal, that He has always been, that He always will be, that He is the one who is at the very beginning of this, and He had no beginning and He has no end. In fact, we sing songs that contain the Ancient of Days and the coronation of our Lord. I was thinking about songs that we're going to sing this morning about the coronation of our Lord. And one of the songs that came to my mind was this, oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing of His power and His love. Our shield, our defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded in praise. Boy, they knew how to say it back then, didn't they? They say it well. Or how about this one? Come thou, Almighty King, help us thy name to sing. Come, help us to praise. Father all glorious, over all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Oh, I long for that day. And Daniel has a vision of it. He sees this taking place. He sees the Ancient of Days coming to a person who is identified, look at it in verse 13, one like the Son of Man. Now this is fascinating, because you got to ask yourself the question, who is the identity of the Son of Man? Who is it? Who is it that when he stands before God Himself and God hands him the scroll, and only he is worthy to unveil that scroll? Nobody else is worthy. They seek everywhere to find someone is worthy, and no one is worthy. The only one that is worthy is the very Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's who this is a reference to. And isn't it interesting? And I want you to think about this for a moment. Do you realize throughout your entire New Testament, the number one term for which God referred to Himself, Jesus that is, more than any other title, the one title He referred to Himself was what? The Son of Man. I remember I was sitting in high school history class, and somebody said, you know, this Jesus that we talk about and hear a lot about, he never really claimed to be God. He never really claimed that position or that authority. He was just a good teacher. Boy, I wish I could transport myself back in time, because now that I've learned Greek and now that I've learned Hebrew, I could stand there and I could say to that person, you don't understand what the title the Son of Man means. You see, the reason why Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, it's a direct reference to the book of Daniel. And he was saying to every Jew that was there, when you ask me, who do you think I am? When you want to know who am I and who sent me, I'm using the title the Son of Man. And that chapter 7 would have immediately come to their mind. Immediately they would have seen the coronation scene. And immediately they would have understand this man Jesus is identifying himself as the Messiah, the very Son of God, the one who is going to open the scrolls at the end of time and pour out his judgment. Oh my gosh, incredible. Over and over and over again. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said this, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels and reward every man for his works. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said these words, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. Now watch this. And you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, what an incredible day. This is a reference to God the Father saying that I am going to give the scroll to the one who is worthy. The Ancient of Days is giving it to the Son of Man. This is the day of his coronation. Matthew records in chapter 25, and I love this statement, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from the other as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. When he comes to establish his glorious throne, he will come as the perfect, beautiful Son of Man, and he will come to judge the nations, and he will judge those, and those who know him as Lord and Savior will be called his sheep and forever enter into his glorious kingdom, and those who do not will be cast into an eternal judgment. Oh, my friends, I don't want you to end up in the judgment of God. Be counted as one of his sheep. Know this, that the very Son of Man is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, people, you got to remember this. This was all written centuries before Jesus even put his foot on this earth. This was all prophetic. These are words that are written here in Scripture. It's hundreds of years before he walks the face of the earth. How could Daniel know this? Because this book is the very truth of the Word of God. It is the very truth of God's Word. And you'll not only notice this, but in verse 13, it's quite interesting, because one of the things you're going to notice in verse 13, and if you look at it, I saw night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like what? The Son of Man. You notice the clouds of heaven? Have you ever just taken that little reference, the clouds of heaven, and looked in Scripture? In fact, I was just thinking about this morning in Matthew chapter 24. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes on earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. Isn't that incredible? Everywhere in your Bible, when the Son of Man is referred to in his coming, it mentions he's coming on clouds. just like his ascension when they was there with the angels, and the angels were standing there, or actually in heaven as Jesus ascended, and the disciples were standing there looking up into heaven, and they were standing there, he's gone up into heaven, and the angels came down and said, why are you staring? Don't you understand? This very Jesus that was taken up in these clouds is going to return in clouds of honor and praise and glory with his saints. That's us. Oh man, what a day. What a day. And here's what you need to know, people. You are a child of this King. This King is eternal. This King loves you. This King died for you. This King purchased you. You belong to his eternal kingdom, which will never perish forever and ever and ever. Oh, praise and glory to his name. What a coronation that's going to be. I cannot wait for that day. Now, hang on. The character of the kingdom. I got to get moving. How long do I go in this service? Somebody tell me. I don't have my timesheet. Somebody tell me. The character of the kingdom. Let's look at that real quick. I'm going to give you just four words here real fast. The first word I want you to see is authority. Look at it in verse 14. Understand this. Understand the authority. Because what is given to him in verse 13 is given him dominion. Dominion. The word there is sultan. It means ruling authority. In other words, this kingdom, when it is established by our Lord Jesus Christ, is not going to be a democracy. You don't get to vote, praise God. It is going to be an absolute, pure, benevolent dictatorship. But understand this, it will be a dictatorship. He will be the one in charge. You won't have to worry about who to vote for. You won't have to watch any of those horrible political ads that continue to run all the time. You don't have to worry about Democrats and Republicans fighting all the time. There will be no more fighting in the kingdom because all authority is given unto him. He rules, he reigns, and it's a pure dictatorship. Amen to that. In fact, drop down in chapter 7 to verse 27. Look at it. And the kingdom, notice this, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Woo! That's us. You like that? I like that. The whole heaven, it shall be given to the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions, listen to this, all dominions shall serve him and what? Obey him. Oh, I long for that day when every breath that I have will be in service to my Lord. I long for that day where every thought will be in obedience to him. I long for that day when every nation will honor him. When all tribes of all peoples, of all nations, of all tongues come and worship the Lord God. Psalm chapter 2, why do the nations rage? The king's people plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. That's what the nations want today. Eliminate Jesus. Get rid of him. We don't want the Ancient of Days, and we certainly don't want the Son of Man. But look at verse 4, Psalm 2. I love this. He who sits in the heaven laughs. He laughs at them. The Lord holds them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury. Wow. Amazing. In spite of all of this, God is going to be worshipped with complete authority. Remember what Psalm 8 says, thou hast made him an authority over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, said, all authority is given unto me and heaven and earth, and go make disciples, church. Listen, we've got a kingdom mandate. And our mandate is to go into the uttermost parts of this world and to proclaim the gospel that there is nobody like the Lord. that his kingdom is a coming kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. And you can be part of that kingdom. But it begins with you kneeling right now and bowing to his authority. So the first word that I would say in the character of the kingdom is authority. The second word, look at it here, is honor. Honor was given to him dominion and glory. And the word that is used there is the word yachar. And it simply means to be valued, to be honored, to be precious. You see, the one thing that the people of God could never quite do, and Jesus said this, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And what Jesus is saying is, don't you understand, on that day when my kingdom is established, an eternal kingdom that will never end, all men will not only be under my authority, but all men will honor me. Oh, I long for that day when all people will honor Jesus, don't you? When all people will look to him and honor him. And notice not only the honor and the authority, look at the scope of it in verse 14. All peoples, all nations, all languages will serve him. Every tribe, every tongue. You see, when you talk about the kingdom of God, there is no racism there. In fact, racism is ridiculous. Why? Because every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every land will no longer be at war with one another. There will no longer be racism in this world, but it will be a world that is filled with his glory and his beauty, and they will all come to serve him together. So not one race is better than the other. We're all equal in the sight of God. As someone said, the ground of the foot of the cross is level for everyone. And in the midst of all of this, he will grant a kingdom that will be a kingdom that is everlasting. It will be a kingdom of authority, king of honor. The scope of it and the extent of it will be eternal. When will the kingdom happen? When will this take place? Now, here's the interesting part. Did you know that it already has? That's right. The fact is Jesus went around preaching more than anything else. What did he preach? The kingdom of God. Now, here's what's really going to blow your mind. The moment you came to Christ and you're alive in you, the moment Christ dwelt in you, the kingdom of God in its spiritual form began to indwell you. So understand this. You have a spiritual aspect of the kingdom right now inside of you. And the very nature of what we see today of the kingdom, its authority, its honor, its scope, its eternality, is dwelling within you now. And we are his children who live in the authority of that kingdom and move in the authority of the future of the kingdom that is yet to come. We live, and this is a difficult concept to understand, we live in the presence of the future coronation of the king. What is taking place here is as good as already happened. It is guaranteed, and it is alive in you. Amazing. The kingdom of God dwelling in me and you, where we are under his authority, where we honor him, where we understand that the extent and the scope of this is eternal, that he will rule forever. And he will continue his reign through eternity. Lastly, when you want to look at the chronology of the kingdom, let me just simply finish with this. In fact, I'll tell you what to do. Go and read Revelation chapter 20. It speaks of the coming of the millennial kingdom. In other words, after Christ comes, there'll be a literal 1,000-year reign. You and I will be a part of that 1,000-year reign. At the end of that 1,000-year reign, Satan will be cast into a bottomless pit and bound. At the end of that 1,000-year reign, where everyone is subject to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be unleashed for a short time. And then the beauty of it is that in Revelation 20, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan, when he's released, he will deceive the nations no more, and he will ultimately be judged and thrown into a lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet, and he will be tormented forever, day and night. brothers, are you going to be in this kingdom? Huh? You remember a rich man came to Jesus one day? And he said to him, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? He understood that the issue was the kingdom. And Jesus spoke to him, and he was pretty clear. He said, you rich guy, take everything you've got. Sell it. Give it to the poor. Now, is Jesus there teaching that the moment you become a Christian, you need to get rid of all of your possessions, sell them, give them to the church? Yes. That's not what he's saying. He is saying this. You give me everything. Jesus knew what was holding that man back. His wealth, his possessions, his place, his comfortable lifestyle. And he said, you have to understand this. I come before everything. Make me number one. I long for this day, people. What a glorious day it will be when he returns and establishes kingdom forever. And we will be with him. Can you imagine gathered around that throne singing, worthy is the Lamb? There's no one like the Lord. What an awesome day. Father in heaven, we bless your name and we thank you for the power of the book of Daniel and the prophet who spoke years ago. A glorious kingdom, Father, that has already begun its rule and reign in our hearts and will be completed in the fullness of the millennial kingdom and then again in the fullness of all eternity with a new heaven and a new earth. And we, as your bride and your church, are the recipients of that beautiful kingdom. I pray if there's someone here today who doesn't know that yet, who doesn't know the joy of you, that today they would bow their head to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Peace.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated just for a moment. I just want to say, Pastor Mike, thank you. I can hardly wait for that day. You know, I'm sitting there thinking about the kingdom, and you talk about the spiritual kingdom. And I thought, he's given it to us. You know about seek his kingdom first, live righteously. You know, and I think the kingdom of God is righteousness, free from condemnation, free from fear and anxiety, peace and joy and in the Holy Spirit, and he who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved of by men. So that day when it comes, we're not going to be surprised. It's not going to come to us like a thief in the night. Thank you so much. And men and women of God, this is a great time of worship. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for those at home that we've been able to stream to you, and may the Lord bless you on this new day. This is the beginning of a brand new week that's never been, and may it be a holy time. On your way out, you can have the freedom of your worship and tithe and offerings right over here. You can also go online. Most of us have gone online anymore at fbcpaso.org and just go down into that arena. But may this be a worshipful day for you and rejoicing in him. So may you receive this blessing. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here and those that are at home watching this. Father, enrich them the magnificence of your kingdom. May there be an excitement and even the opportunities we all find ourselves in. That these are your days. This is the sovereignty of you taking place. May you give insight and wisdom to everyone here. May you give them your glory. May they delight in you so that they are not confused in their decision making. May every decision and everything we do be in light of eternity that we've already experienced being reborn. So thank you for this day. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for all of that we've sung to you, Father. May this be a magnificent day. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.